Hello, welcome to the second episode of Swiped Out. My name is Calvin, and this one is going to be slightly different than the last one because I decided to do something a little fun, okay? Now, you may or may not know, I also have the platform Black Gay Slay, where I interview people in the queer community who happen to be Black, Black people who happen to be queer, however you want to phrase it. I really focus on the intersectionality of our specific community and try to find people who I look up to, try to find people who not only inspire me, but could inspire others who have a story to tell. And I want to learn more about them. I interview them. I talk their ear off and I, you know, get a little nosy. I get in their business. All right. That's just how I roll. And recently I did an interview with Lamont White. Now, if you don't know who Lamont White is, he is, well, amazing. He is a dating coach. He actually goes by the social media handle, The Gay Dating Coach. So you can find him on Instagram, you can find him on YouTube, and he is just really focused in the business of matchmaking and helping gay people find love, which I think is so beautiful. And I figured what better way to cross promote than to showcase the interview here as well. So I will also include the video version in the description so you can watch it if you like. But since this is a podcast about my insanely sad love life, I thought it would be only right to include this interview with Lamont, where we're talking all about all things love, all things dating, and for him to really tell me and anybody out there listening what we're all doing wrong, because it's so much. none of us got it right. And he's going to set us straight about it. I mean, there's nothing straight about how I date, but we're going to do our best. We really are. We're going to do our best. We're going to learn from Lamont, the master of matchmaking, and see if we can take home some tips and tricks to better our own love lives. So, yeah, we had a good old time. We really did. I got to learn about him and his husband, how they met. We talk about astrology, whether or not that really means anything when it comes to dating. Also, is it important to have a hoe phase? Is it? We're going to find out. We're going to find all of that out and more. So stay tuned.
Hey, what's up? My name is Calvin and I am here with the gay dating coach himself. Yes, matchmaker extraordinaire, Lamont White. Lamont, how are you?
I am doing awesome, Calvin. Thanks for having me today.
Of course, of course. Like, your name alone is very fun for me. Lamont White sounds like the coldest 90s R&B singer of all time. So
I think I can sing maybe a little. No, you don't want to hear me sing. No, no.
People deserve it. I think that's what needs to happen. I feel like you'd be singing slow jam somewhere.
I could see that.
You see the vision? Lamont.
It's probably easier for me to help people find love than actually you all hearing me sing. You don't want to hear that.
Oh, no. So speaking of, we might know you from social media and, of course, you know, Love Match Atlanta. You're very Googleable, which I really appreciate.
Okay. That's a good thing.
But I want to go beyond the Googles. I do. I want to go beyond the Googles. I want to get to know you, hopefully personally, a little bit more through this interview. And just to get the blood pumping in this conversation, I was hoping that we can play a little game if you're up for it.
Sure, I like games. A little competitive.
Yeah, no competition. You just have to answer questions, a little bit of a rapid fire, fill in the blank type of deal, if that's, that sounds.
Oh, that sounds fun. Yeah. Sounds fun.
Yeah, low stakes. So number one, my go-to drink is?
Anything with tequila, as long as it's not Patron. Patron gets stuck right here. So tequila works for me.
I feel you on that. All alcohol gives me like acid reflux for some weird reason. If I were invisible for a day, I would.
Whew, this is probably horrible for me to say, but I would probably go to take clothes, like go to the mall, be that guy taking everything. I like to shop, so I would just, you know, have more clothes.
Okay.
Yes.
I see clothes floating everywhere. I you know what? Not a bad idea.
Gucci everywhere.
Yes. Take some up from me too while you're at it. My personal dating philosophy is?
That's a good one. People might not like this, but you have to create chemistry. Like, you have to make the guy feel comfortable. You have to flirt. Dating is work and effort, and it's not something that is natural. That's my philosophy. It's a hell of a lot of work and effort.
That is true. It's a whole job.
Yes.
The pettiest thing I've done while dating or in love.
Going through someone's phone. Yeah.
Really?
I can admit to that. This is back in the day, you know. I want to see what's going on. And you find what you're looking for.
Always. You always
There.
do. It's, and
Yeah.
it's never good. It's never good.
Yeah.
And last one, my most awkward moment with a client is.
Awkward moment. Well, that's, you know, 10 years worth of moments. When the client is insistent on not taking advice, like they want to do it their way. And I'm like, well, why did you hire me to, you know, help you through dating coaching? If we're still going to do it your way, why am I here? You know, having those conversations. Yeah.
That part, because your way ain't working. That's the reason why you're here.
That's why you hired me. You wanted a different approach, but you didn't. You wanted me to co-sign to your bullshit. Yeah.
So speaking of, how does one get to that place? Like growing up to being the little kid you were to who you are now, did you imagine yourself ever being in this profession? How did you get here?
Oh, Lord, today. So, Calvin, I thought I was going to be a preacher. Like growing up, you know, I was going to be like a minister, have a, you know, a first lady and all that type of stuff. You know, because that's what I grew up as. Like both my parents are deacons, but as I got older, discovered, you know, who I was and accepted who I was, I was like, no, I want to be a happy gay man. And I moved into counseling. So I have a master's in professional counseling. I've been a therapist for a very long time. And I noticed that gay men just don't know how to date. So I was meeting with couples over and over again and were making mistakes. So I said, why don't I go back to school, get a certification in the science and how to match people, how to coach. And that's why I'm a dating coach today.
That is the truest thing I think I've ever heard is the sentence, gay people don't know how to date.
Well, so here's the thing. We never have role models. We never have blueprints. What we have are heterosexual people, and gay relationships are different from heterosexual relationships. They're different. Yeah.
And so, getting a little bit personal, you're married, correct?
I am married. Yes.
Awesome, awesome. How did you two meet?
So I met my husband when I was, wow, at like 25, 26, which is a very long time ago. And we were just associates. And probably about 10 years ago, we bumped into each other. And I guess kind of looked at him differently. Like I didn't like know him very well, but when I saw him, I was like, okay, he's kind of cute. I know him a little bit. Let's see where this is going to go. And we have been having fun and the best time of our lives ever since.
Oh, my heart.
Oh,
I think there's a bit of joy sparked in it. I think that's what it is. I don't
is it sparking right there? Let's see. There's hope for you,
know.
Calvin.
Okay. So, 'cause I asked that because I feel like how we are with the relationships in our personal lives always kind of show up with how we work with others in any kind of setting, but especially professional, because if home ain't right, you know, professional's not right, we have such a beautiful relationship. I wonder how did your own personal experiences in love and your marriage kind of impact your business, since your business is love, you know?
Yeah. So I think for me, it's a daily way of me checking in with myself mentally, emotionally, and also with my husband. And I'll be upfront. I tell people I make mistakes as well. Like I am not perfect. If you want a perfect matchmaker, dating coach, that's not this guy right here. My husband reminds me you got some stuff to work on too daily, right? And that's okay. I think what I do use is the science behind how gay men find love, but the experience that I have seen and witnessed that I've implemented with couples, but also sometimes through my personal experiences. So I may share with my clients personal things that I've had to overcome. And I think when I do that, they can see that I am more relatable. They get that I have made mistakes and I've had to actually suck up my pride, right? I've had to take risk as well in the journey to find love. And I'm not just giving you something that I guess gave from a book or I Google to find out.
So I love that. Because I always wonder, being a matchmaker, how much of it is like, because here's the thing, I feel like you've seen a lot of BS. You've seen a lot of bullshit, right? You've seen a lot of, like, you probably had your before you met your amazing husband, you probably kissed your, what is it, your fair share of frogs before you got to Prince Charming. So I wonder, how does that show up in, like, oh, like, I know exactly what this is because I've ran into it before. I've dated this before. Oh, there's no, like, have you met somebody who's like, there's no hope for you? There's like, what are we doing here?
So I would say there's I have yet, I have yet to find that there's no hope for anyone. I will say that some people may have to put forth more effort. And that is the key thing, is that some people have to work a little bit harder. And the question is, are you willing to do that? And for me, I have found that the effort is worth the tears, the failed dates, the therapy sessions, because you get to connect with a beautiful soul that actually sees you for who you are, who like literally appreciates you for what is in front of him. And he says, I love the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I want to rock with it. So it's worth it.
There's hope for everybody. I think I just needed to hear that.
The thing is, like, you have to believe it though. Like when I hear people say, oh, there's piss in the dating pool, that gives me, what I'm hearing is that you think there's no hope, that there's no hope for you to find somebody. But there is, because you're in the dating pool. So if you're in the dating pool, there's still hope.
What about astrology? Do you believe in that in any terms to, like, help you seek out matches? Do you think there's any validity to that, or is it basically just the science you learned in school?
So there are like astrology, there are different inventories, different assessments that talk about like personality dynamics. And some people are like, hey, they use that as a guide for how they find love. And even other matchmakers might use astrology or different inventories, assessments to say, hey, let me match somebody. I think if that works for you, great. However, that is not my approach. My approach really is making sure that two individuals, once they get in front of each other, they can navigate the differences, the nuances that are different from the person that's in front of them, because we all have different backgrounds. It's about how you coexist. That's the key. You can have a great date, but the thing about it is, can you stay in a long-term relationship, it be healthy, and you enjoy it? If you can't handle conflict, if you can't be consistent, forget about the astrology, the different assessments, and everything else, because you're going to end that relationship.
Okay, I guess my question now is, like, okay, so you get on this good date or you have this good thing going. How do you vet to make sure, like, okay, this person really is the real deal or thing by shit? Like, what are those green flags that you look for in dating, especially for queer people?
Just for for gay men, for queer people, however you identify, it is all about seeing if the person is compatible for you. And if you don't know what works well for you, like if you haven't like literally written down what you want in a relationship or the type of relationship that you want, then you are kind of just dating all over the place and seeing what works well. And if that's the place where you are in self-discovery, own up to that. But if you're like, hey, I'm serious about dating, this is what I need in a match, go on a date, listen to what he says, but also pay attention to what he does. Make sure they align so you can see if that is the authentic person or if they are just BSing you and trying to please you. And a lot of people do that while they're dating, is that they tell you what you want to hear. And then 6 months later, you have a whole new person in front of you. You're like, who is this? Because they were BSing you initially.
Ah, that's that could that hit close to home. Yes.
Oh, have you gone through that, Calvin? You're like,
Preacher choir. I can see why you wanted to be a priest. Because you have it. You have it. You really do. So with this, of course, being, Black gay slay, and you being someone who I've told you before, you are one of those people I look at as Black queer excellence. I want to know your take. Of course, of course. I want to know your take on, I guess, because my question is, do you think it's harder for Black queer people dating one another than it is any other combination? Because I feel like there has been such a, you know, across the bear when it comes to just sometimes two niggas just, you know, finally like trying to like get it right and making it work versus maybe another two like pairing.
Right. So when I look at like different ethnic backgrounds and like, is it easier to date? I think the difference with particularly Black gay men or gay men of color is that we have a extra layer of minority stress to cope with, to manage, to unlearn. And if we do not seek therapy, seek spiritual support, seek counseling, get a mentor, we will fall in the same traps of dating and trying to be like straight people or trying to be like non-people of color and trying to make it work for us. So you have to do the work so that you can be a whole individual. A whole individual to date. Yeah, but it's definitely possible. I think there is a misconception that Black gay men don't want love or Black gay men can't find love. That is a lie. There are tons of Black gay men who are in healthy relationships. The only difference is they are not spewing it all over social media. They don't want the critique from the world. They don't want the critique from other gay men who will say, oh, that's not a real relationship because of X, Y, and Z. Or I had him, and so why are you with him? No, they keep their business to themselves and they exist and do well.
I love that. And you often talk about the comparison between straight dating and gay or queer dating and how, I think you said it, you know, pretty much within that and what you've been saying is that there's so much to unlearn from those two. I want to know, what is the biggest thing you think we need to unlearn in that kind of way, navigating down that path of, you know, dating while queer, but also what is one thing that we can keep? Like, what's one big throwaway and what's one keep from comparing ourselves to straight couples?
Yeah, what I have found is the most common thing that most gay men, particularly gay men of color, have to unlearn is that they have to reconcile their sexual orientation with their belief in their higher power, right? So what does, if you call it God, the creator, what does he, she, they say about your sexual orientation? That is the hardest thing because it shows up every day, every component of your relationship. And once you go through that journey and figure out that your higher power loves you and wants you to be with the same gender, like wants you to be with the same gender, then that will spill over in your ability to be affectionate, to be open about who you are, be honest about the type of sex that you want, and that will help with your relationship. It's a hard thing. It's easy to say, but it is a long, long journey, right?
How was that? Because you said you have two parents who are in that world of, you know, because I circling it back to that, because I didn't want to get too deep into your business. Being a PK, but like, what was it like, especially being like growing up gay? Like,
So I will say many nights crying, many nights cussing at God, like, like, really, you gonna do this to me? But this is who I am, because being gay is not something you can turn off like a light switch, right? And when you come to learn about who you want to love, you have to reconcile that with a higher power. So therapy helped. One of the biggest things that helped is recreating my network, like my support network. So I had to cut off a whole bunch of people who were not supportive and build my own tribe that can support me and love me for who I am. Yeah.
How did your parents take it?
Very, very different. Like my mother was just like, she's hilarious. She basically said, don't be a bottom because anal sex hurts, right?
Listen, she ain't never lied. She knows she's on that.
Like, ma'am, you tried it, right? But my dad, like, once he found out, he was loving, supportive. He was like, okay, whatever. Who's the guy? Right?
I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I will say one of the things I think that we can maybe keep or, you know, borrow from some of the things from heterosexual relationships really is commitment. Mm-hmm. When I say commitment, you are in it for the long haul. Like, that has been, I think, ingrained in heterosexuals, particularly women, like, no matter what, you stay. But I would just modify a little bit is that you are committed to this relationship, but the two of you all define what commitment is, but you are in it for the long haul.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I'm gonna go off script since you said I could. I have questions I just always want to ask, like a matchmaker. Do you think it's important to have a whole phase, like before actually getting into that commitment?
So it depends on your relationship with sex, right? If you think that sex or you value sex as something that is precious, that is important, then no, you should reserve sex for whoever you feel like you want to be in a long-term relationship or you want to marry. If sex is something that's a little bit more casual, then I would say do that in your 20s when you are exploring about who you are, the type of job you want, your career, the type of sex you like, the type of relationship you want. Date different types of people. Date different types of people. Explore different sexual experiences so you can know what you want when you're in your 30s.
Yes, yes. I saw this clip online and it kind of went viral where someone was talking about multi-dating has become like so normalized and whatnot, but it technically isn't normal. And the person actually said something to the effect of it kills your character. I'm so interested in your thoughts on that. Like, do you believe in multi-dating? Do you think it's a hindrance or an assist while you're trying to find them?
Right. So I think when you say multi-dating, I say that as I define that as dating more than one person. I didn't say having sex with more than one person. Pregnant pause. Okay. I said you are dating. So that means you might be going to a basketball game with one guy. You might be going to dinner with this other guy. And during that time, you are trying to figure out compatibility while having a good time. That is all dating is. Do I think this person is worth another date? Do I think this person is compatible? Like, you have your list. And as you're dating, you're checking those things off. Like, yes, he's dependable. Yes, he is spiritual. Or yes, he's financially stable. Or yes, he's caring. He's affectionate. The only way you're going to figure that out is if you date guys. And I don't think you owe it to one person to lock down your entire life for it to fail. If you're like, oh, I have to date this guy for 6 months exclusively to see if it's going to work. No, date two or three guys. Not a dozen. Two or three, not a dozen. Get a dozen of eggs or donuts. But
I mean, they're so high lately.
Yes.
But yes, like stay within finger range. I feel that. Stay
like a basketball team. You know, they're five players. You know, five people on the court. I think five is a lot to manage if you have a job, careers, friend, family. That's a lot. So I would say maybe two, maybe three, you know.
Yeah, I'm so horrible at I suck at multitasking, let alone like multi-dating. Yeah. Forget it. Sure. So
and if you do multi-date, like, and if the more you have, other people can tell the difference. Because they're like, your energy's off. Mm-hmm. If they're being in tune with you, they were like, your energy's off, you're not as available. So keep it to maybe two, maybe three.
Yeah. That's nice. I feel like the older I get, the more I realize the value in it, because putting your eggs, so much egg talk today, putting all your eggs in one basket is just not the wisest thing to do.
No, No, especially if you're trying to find the one. Like, and I feel like dating is a part-time job and you have to like literally mentally say, hey, I'm going to spend the next 12 months literally dating. So that means you have to make yourself available. You have to add things to your social calendar so that you can meet people. You have to, you know, have outfits. You got to have some money. It is a whole thing, you know.
It's a part-time job that you have to pay for. Yes. It costs money.
Yes. And your time. Yes. You can find inexpensive things to do or free things to do. Because I feel like if you're just going to the shopping at the mall, going to the park, walking the dog, that's free stuff. But that's romantic and that's fun.
Yeah. It also costs time, though. I don't want nobody to waste my time.
Someone that we had this conversation, I had this conversation with somebody else talking about wasted time. Mm-hmm. I think dating is not a waste of time, even if the guy's not a good fit. The only time it's a waste of time is if going into the date, you know already this is going nowhere. Like you're like, if spirituality is a big thing for you and you're like, this person is an atheist. Why are you wasting your time going on a date with somebody who's an atheist? If monogamy is your thing, why are you wasting your time going on a date with somebody who wants an open relationship?
Do you believe that's a waste of time? Oh, sorry. I was going to ask, do you believe in the right person, wrong time? Or do you think if it's the right person, there'll never be a wrong time?
So, yes. It could be the right person, wrong time. And that is because the person may have not experienced certain things. The person may not have decided on what their core values are. The person might have be going through depression, anxiety, a recent death with a family member. So they're not into the mental state to date. So I think if you think somebody is the right person, but they're a little off right now, circle back 6 months later. Do a check-in. See what growth has occurred. If there's no growth, check back in again in 6 months.
I feel like that's a word for somebody. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's me.
Yeah. Because I think the time that I met my husband, oh, hell no. We were not compatible at that stage. We were not. If we had tried to date at that stage, which was 20 years ago when I first met him, No, I was not.
You were like three? What do you mean 20 years ago?
I met him when I was about like 25. Yeah, I'm 42 now.
Lies.
What do you mean? Lies. That's almost 20 years, like 18.
No, you 17. Said 20 years ago. I was just waiting for you to say like, yeah, when I was in diapers.
I can't. No. Okay.
About the skincare routine. My gosh. How do you feel about dating apps?
Yeah, so I think dating apps are great, particularly depending on where you live, right? So I think you have to find the app that works best in your city, but guys are doing it wrong, Calvin. I feel like everyone wants to do like these blank profiles or just like a chest. No, put your damn face out there. Put your name, things that you're looking for. Fill the entire profile out, like your age, your height, your weight, your sexual position, all that. So guys can be like, this is what you're into. I think that it works.
So what? I did want to play a game about dating apps. I'm trying to figure if I want to do it now, but I had a question. Do you want to play another game? I have a game.
Sure.
It's real quick. So this is a little segment, a little game I call Swiped Out. You know, with the dating apps, it's swiping and swiping and swiping. So I just have three questions real quick. So in this alternate universe, you have to make a dating profile, filling out your bio. What do you say? But you can only say it in five words or less.
Five words or less. Let's live life. Let's live life together.
Oh. Yeah, see, that would get me. That would get me. Question number two. you match with someone, your ideal person, right? What is your best pickup line to get a message back?
Finally, you notice me and I notice you. Let's connect. I don't know. That's like, I'm going for the gusto. I'm making it.
Yeah. It's like cool, simple, but effective.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
And assertive, because I'm like saying, let's connect, bro. Don't be playing around.
See, Lamont got game. That's what it is. That's what you haven't been telling people. You got game. That's why you have this amazing, like, love life right now. Because you know how the game works.
Oh, yeah.
I envy. I have no game. Okay.
Last but guys like a little confidence and game, and they like a little chase. You know, that's one thing I noticed about dating coaching is guys work all day long. And so they like for someone else to show up. But you both got to continue to show up throughout the relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'll tell you what, see, what I lack in game, I make up for in enthusiasm. So it's a lot of energy coming at you. So I feel like that helps. I try to always show up. Last but not least, what is the wildest thing you've heard of or experienced happening on a dating app?
Heard of or experienced? I don't know. So years ago, before I met my husband, this is what I tell people to this day to do. I met some guy off an app, gave him my telephone number. He would not stop calling me. Like, would not. I blocked him. He would find another phone, call me on with that number. And I was just like, what is going on? So I'm a big advocate of people getting Google numbers and using that for dating so that you don't always have to give your personal telephone number out, but you have a Google number that you can use for dating. And then when you feel like that person is trustworthy, be like, hey, here's my other number. Boom.
I like that. I used to do that like back in the day because I feel like the younger you are, the crazier people are because you're dating people that same age.
So. Yes. No self-control, right? And they want what they want. And I'm like, I don't want you.
Pinger was a friend back in the day. Those Pinger numbers before Google got it together with the Google numbers. Yes, that's solid. That's solid advice. Mm-hmm. Not you had a little bugaboo, bless your heart. That's scary.
Yeah.
Different numbers and different phones to call you. Oh my gosh.
Like, bro, take a hint and direction. Move on.
I do want to circle back to you and your husband. You said that when you guys first met, you probably weren't compatible. What changed in that dynamic to make you guys compatible?
Yeah. I think for me, I still needed to explore what type of relationship I wanted, right? I think for me, I still wanted to be in a different place financially, emotionally. I think when I initially met him, my great grandmother had passed and she was like super close to me. So mentally I was like still recovering from her death and I didn't want to talk to anybody. Like I wanted to heal and just focus on myself to grow. Yeah.
How long did that take for you guys to get back on that path of being together then?
Oh, I'm sorry. We weren't trying to date then. We were just associates. By the time that we were trying to date, we were rocking and rolling. We were there. Yeah.
See, that's what it's about. See, that's why I know you said it's possible for like the right person, wrong time, but you guys really did like, because you guys didn't, you know, get on that path until it was the right time. So it was always right.
Yeah. It was the right time. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. So I feel like you might have answered this question before, but more specifically, now that dating apps are so much a thing now, and we've already kind of, you know, solidified that dating while queer is hard, but dating while Black is also hard, mm-hmm. What are your extra tips or, you know, specific advice for the people who are at that intersection, both Black and queer, on dating apps? Do we need extra help. How do we do that?
So the extra help is that you should do the picking of the guys. A lot of guys are going to send you DMs after you create this wonderful profile with your face picture, your description, everything you're looking for. Everybody's going to send you messages. They're going to send you nudes. They're going to send you hello, all that type of stuff. You have to pick. Like, the reason I say you pick, because you get to scan profiles and say, hey, he has some of the things that I'm looking for. So let me approach him by giving him a compliment, asking him a question. Also saying, let's exchange contact information. So we are taking it from the app to the phone and not just texting, but literally calling and having a conversation to hear the voice. And then the extra step is you saying, hey, let's meet in person, right? I don't recommend people going from straight from the app to let me meet you in person. Mm-mm. Do some vetting in between there, because it could be catfish. They could have a whole bunch of other stuff going on. They could be married. They could be, you don't know. Screen that person before you meet them in person.
Got it. So I have one close to final question. just asking for a friend, and by friend, I do mean myself.
Hey, friend.
So what do you do once you are doing all those things? Everything that you're talking about, you have, you know, done the vetting, you've done the multi-dating as much as you possibly can, you know, you said, hey, this is the person, you feel like it's your person, and you're having this, you're making the steps to communicate every step of the way, every concern, you're doing all the things right, right? And it still doesn't work out. What is your advice and guidance to getting back out there after heartbreak?
Yeah. So you may go through dating, think it's the right person, and it just doesn't work out. And some guys are like, after that, oh, I'm taking a break for a year. Oh, I'm not dating for 5 years. I'm gonna go back to school. I'm gonna do blah, blah, blah. No, take a month, take 30 days, cry, go to church, go to therapy, talk to your friends, but get back on the horse. And the reason why I say that is, yes, you need time to heal and you need to do some self-reflection during that time, but you still want to keep putting yourself out there. The longer you wait, the older you are, it becomes more challenging to find someone that's a good fit for you. And especially, I would say, what helps with that is not looking for perfection. Because we all have issues that we're working towards. Also, changing your network of guys that you're picking from. It is 2023. You are not limited to dating someone who lives in your city. I think you can fly somewhere, date someone who lives in a different city. You can drive and date someone who lives in a different city. Mm-hmm. And you all can make that work. You can go to conferences. You can go to big boy events. You can go to professional networking event so that you can change the pool that you're picking from.
Confirmation.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. That is true. I haven't thought about that in a while, a long distance relationship. You think those actually can work out?
They definitely can, especially because some people get to work remote, right? So as long as you're trying to see each other at minimum, 2 times a month, like where you're driving up there for the weekend or you're spending the week there, I definitely feel like that can work. It's making sure that you all communicate via the phone, video chats, not texting, but like literally video chatting where you can see each other talking and scheduling time to see each other in person. Yeah.
And get back out there.
Don't give up. Yeah. Don't give up.
Do you think there's any truth to the saying, the best way to get over a man is to get under a new one?
No. No, because you're just doing a temporary fix. And then when you're done with that, you're still at the same space. It's just so much baggage. You haven't had time to unload and you're going to put that on that new guy. You don't want that new guy to pay for the past guy's mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I feel like I just had a therapy session, so I appreciate that. And I feel like anyone watching, listening, just had one too. So
good. Look, I do this all the time. I'd like to be, particularly with my clients who do dating coaching sessions with me, we get in the nitty gritty. It is intimate and everyone is different. Everybody has a different journey, different challenges. And I make sure my guys achieve their dating goals. Like, we make it happen, you know, hell or high water. It happens.
I love that. And I feel like you can tell that there's so much heart in what you do. Like, you really, really, really care. And I love seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when I see guys, you know, they're dating 12 months later, or there's an engagement, there's a wedding. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I'm the biggest crybaby in the world. Like,
what's your sign?
I'm an Aquarius.
My last boyfriend was an Aquarius.
Oh, he was probably a great guy. Or we could be sweet or sour.
I got ghosted, essentially, by my own boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. So
the one that I found on your show, the one I found on your show, actually.
My goodness, on Shoot Your Shot Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. That has to do with maturity. That's to do with maturity. The child is a whole journey. There's some 50-year-olds who have the maturity level of a 20-year-old. It's all about, like, if they're actually doing the mental health work and when they started dating, who they've experienced dating, and how they handle conflict. If you can't handle conflict, you are going to end a relationship. Mm-hmm.
You ain't said nothing but a word. Literally, yeah. A whole word.
Yes, yes.
So, Lamont White, thank you so much. What's coming down the pike for you? Because I know so many people want to see more of Love Match Atlanta. Where can we see more of you? What are you up to? Just let us in.
Sure. So the newest thing that I'm doing is on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is The Gay Dating Coach. The Gay Dating Coach. Because, you know, put it in a search bar. Every Thursday, I am doing live dating coaching sessions with anybody in the LGBTQ+ community, whether they're single or in a relationship. You come on live with me and I give you dating advice in real time. And I tell you if I think you are dateable. The name of the show is Are You Dateable? So check me out on YouTube. Yes.
See, I missed that part. I just realized I missed that part, that last part. I checked in as a whole story, but like I saw the guy that I dated and I didn't get to that part, whether he was dateable or not.
Mm. So you probably came on my Instagram show where we do
Shoot Your Shot. That's what it was.
So that's a different show. On Instagram, it's for singles to find love. YouTube, it's dating advice and coaching. Two different shows, two different vibes. Yeah.
Yes. It's a whole different, it's not what I expected, but listen, it was everything. You are everything. And it's quite as a kept, I actually do love Aquarius. Like, my family is full of Aquarius people.
Oh, yeah, most of mine are, all my siblings, yeah.
You're no different. I am in love with what you do and just the amazing work that you put out to the community. Thank you so much for talking with me. I really do appreciate it, Lamont.
Oh, thank you, Calvin, an amazing platform. I would say keep it up. We need more platforms like this. Just highlighting our community. So please don't stop. Okay.
I'm trying. Thank you so much.